This afternoon, we're asking the question together, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die? And I've asked Naomi Parker, just to come and read one of the accounts of Jesus' death. So we've got that in view. Naomi.
Today's reading is Matthew 27, verses 32 to 50, and that's found on page 704. So that's Matthew 27, starting at 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran over and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit.
So our question this afternoon is this: why did Jesus die? And we're going to look together at one verse that will appear on the screen, if I can do this right. There we go. And here's what it says: Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Well, before we look at that verse together, let's pray and let's ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious God, we thank you that you haven't left us guessing about what you're like and what you've done for us, but you've given us your word. And we pray now, as we look at this verse together, that by your Spirit you would open our eyes to see more of Jesus and melt our hearts as we take in what he has done. And pray that for the honor of his name. Amen. Why did Jesus die? The first thing we see from this verse is Christ died for sins. In other words, Jesus died to rescue us from sin. Now, I know that sin is not something we particularly like to talk about very much. It's not the kind of thing anyone probably chatted about over breakfast this morning. But sin is when we say no to God. So God says, "Tell the truth." And we say, "No, God, I'm not going to tell the truth. I'm going to lie to get me out of trouble, to make me look good. I'm going to lie to get power over them. Or God says, love your neighbor. And we say, no, God, I'm not going to love my neighbor. I'm going to tell them they're stupid. I'm going to make them feel small. And when they are hurting, I'm just going to walk right on by. Or God says, be generous. And we say, no, God, I'm not going to be generous. I'm going to keep my bag of chips to myself. I'm going to keep my money, my land, all to myself. We say no to God. And the Bible says that means that God says no to us. And most of my friends say, well, that just goes to show that he is a bad God. What sort of a God says no to people? But actually, it just goes to show what a good God he is. Because I guess we think sin is a bit of a joke. But sin is very serious. Sin breaks people's hearts, and it breaks people's homes, and it leaves people hungry, and it leaves people homeless. It's very serious. And God is so good. He doesn't just say, well, that's okay then, I don't really mind. He says no. He says no. And the Bible says God's yes means life, but God's no means death. So let me try and explain where sin leaves us. I've got a bit of a sort of human illustration for this. I've got my volunteer. Where's my volunteer, David? This is a high-level multimedia visual aid. Stand back. Here is David. And David represents us. And let's imagine God is up in the balcony there. And God is the source of light and life shining down on us. And sin puts up a barrier. Between us and God, which means David had said David, on behalf of us, has said no to God. God has said no to him. He's cut off from God. He's living in the shade. He's living in the dark because of sin. That's where sin leaves us, cut off from God and his light. And that's what Jesus came to rescue us from. You see, God doesn't want us to die. He wants to give us life. And because he loves us, the Father said to the Son, will you go and rescue them from death and give them life? And because he loves us, the Son said, yes, I'll go. And so the Son steps into our world and comes to rescue us. And there he is, up in the balcony, Jesus, and he's going to come to rescue David. He's coming at great speed. What an athlete. And we can sort of chat amongst ourselves while this happens. But while this happens, let me tell you a story. Here he is, coming from the balcony, down through the corridor, standing here. He's come all the way from there to rescue David, who's losing the blood from all his wrists. I was once ill in bed, and I had a bit of an earache, and I thought it was no big deal, so I thought I'd see it through on painkillers. But it just got worse and worse and worse. It felt like the whole room was going up and down like a ship in a storm. It felt like someone had got the handle of a wooden spoon and rammed it in the side of my head. It just got worse and worse and worse. And Claire, my wife, rang up the doctor, and the doctor wanted to speak to me, and I told him how I was feeling. And do you know what he said? He said, I'm coming immediately. I need to get you to hospital. Usually, you go and see the doctor, don't you? But the very fact that the doctor wanted to come to see me made me realize that perhaps this was more than just an earache. Perhaps this was more serious than I thought. And he came and he got me to hospital, and they looked after me, you see. Hospitals, good places. The week after that, someone handed me an article from a newspaper about someone who had had the same thing that I had had, but who had died because they thought it was just an earache. The fact that the doctor came showed me it was very serious. The fact that the Son of God came shows us that our sin, the problem that we are in, is very serious. We might think, oh, it's no big deal, we can sort it out. Sin is something the Son of God needed to rescue us from. That's how serious it is. But how did he rescue us? First thing we see is Jesus rescued us from sin. Jesus rescued us from sin by dying in our place. Do you see how the verse goes on? Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. The righteous for the unrighteous. Righteous means someone who has never said no to God. Always said yes. That is Jesus. There's no barrier between him and God. He's not living in the shade. Always said yes to God. Unrighteous is people like us who said no to God, who are living in the shade. And what our verse says is that the righteous one dies for the unrighteous one. That Jesus dies for us. Jesus looks at us and says, I will stand in for you. I will take your place. Can you think of times when someone stands in for someone else? Can you think of moments like that? Anyone think of a moment where someone stands in for someone else? Absolutely nobody can think of any examples of anyone standing in. Ed, what sort of examples can you think of?
Substitution in a
form. Yep, someone has an injury, someone else takes their place. Yep. Any other examples? There's a hand there waving. Yep, so in a play or something, someone might get ill and someone has to stand in at the last minute, write the lines up their arms. And those, Josephine. Yeah, that's right. That's very moving stories of people standing in, taking the place. Ben, can you think of someone? Yeah, what, someone, you can't come to work perhaps one day and someone stands in for you? Yeah, takes your place? Yeah, thank you. Well, that is what Jesus does. He stands in for us. Jesus goes up to us and says, I will take your place. I will stand where you stood. So, David, you can lower your arms now. Just shake them a little bit. We don't want, you know, health and safety. That is what Jesus did on the cross. Stood in our place. Do you remember from the reading, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think funny. What is Jesus doing being cut off, forsaken by God? It was not because he had sinned. He only ever said yes to his Father in heaven. It's because he was standing in our place. Let me tell you another story. I keep losing my little clicker. There we go. Whoops. That wasn't there just now. Are you all right? Arms, yeah. Nearly 100 years ago, there was a young boy, just 14 years of age, who played the bugle in the army. His name was Will Holt. And there was one time when they were out on rifle practice, and during the night, someone had messed up the targets. And they worked out that it was someone from tent number 4. That was the tent in which Will Holt slept. And the colonel lined everyone up and said, whoever it was in tent 4 who messed up the target should own up, and if they take their punishment, everyone else will go free. If no one owns up, then everyone in tent 4 will be punished. There was silence. And after a couple of minutes of that sort of silence, little Will Holt stepped up. And the colonel was a bit taken aback because it was not like Will Holt to cause trouble. He was pretty sure that Will Holt had not been the guy who'd messed up the targets, and he waited for someone else to own up. But Will said, Colonel, you said that if one man steps up and takes the punishment, everyone else could go free. I'm stepping up. So Will took the punishment, which in those days was a very severe beating. And as Will was being beaten, this big guy called Jim Sykes came running forward and he broke down in tears and he said, stop, stop, it wasn't him, it was me. And as Will lay in a heap, Jim Sykes sort of scooped him up in his arms and said, why did you do it, Will? Why did you step up like that? And you know what Will said? He said, because I thought it might help you to understand how much Jesus loves you. What? Said Jim Sykes. I took your place because I love you, Jim, but Jesus loves you much, much more. I took your punishment for just one sin, Jim, but Jesus took your punishment for all the sins you've ever done. Well, Will Holt was right. Jesus stood in our place and took the punishment for all the sins we've ever done. And the fact that he did that shows us, well, just how much he loves us. I wonder if you sometimes feel that there's no one who loves you. Not really. Our verse says there is. The Son of God loves you. He loves you so much, he laid down his life for you. That's how precious you are to him. Jesus died to rescue us from sin. Jesus died in our place. And finally, Jesus died to bring us to God. My sin meant God's no. But where is my sin now? It's on Jesus. It's on Jesus. He takes the punishment. Do you see what it says in the verse? Once for all. It's done. It means there's no more punishment for us to take. And what happens is Jesus dies and he doesn't stay dead. He deals with our sin. He conquers over it. He triumphs over it. And he rises to new life. And he brings us to God. He takes us to the Father. Back up to the balcony. Who knows where that is? Anyone recognize that? Jump. Good skills. Anyone been to Jump? Yes, yes, yes. What about this place? Anyone know where that is? No, it's hard to tell, isn't that a place called Play Space? Anyone been to Play Space? Any debt yet? One or two? Anyone recognize? That's harder to recognize. That's the climbing wall, the undercover rock climb. Anyone been to the climbing wall there? Few people. What about this one? Ooh. You know what that is? That is the poster for Bristol Raceway. Go-karting course, twice the size of any other go-karting course in the country. Anyone been to Jump or Raceway, all those places? How did you get there when you went to Jump? When you last went to Jump, how did you get there? By car? Did you drive yourself, Ben? No. Who was driving? Your mum. Your mum took you. If your mum hadn't have taken you, what would have happened, do you think? Yeah, that is a very, very honest answer. Ben saying if his mum hadn't taken him in the car, he wouldn't have been able to go, or if she'd given him the keys, he may have crashed. That's right. That's right. But that's the point, isn't it? Alone, you never would have got to all these fun places, Jump and Raceway. If you'd just been going alone, you would have been lost before you even started. You couldn't have got there. You needed mum or dad to take you to Jump. You did. And the point is, alone, we can never get to God. We can never get up there into the balcony alone. We're stuck under the mattress. And sometimes we think, if I try to be good, then I'll get to God. And the Bible says, no, you can never get there alone. Only Jesus can bring us to God. Isn't that a wonderful relief? Because alone, I could never get there. But if I'm with Jesus, he brings me to God. Jesus says, I've died for your sin. The price has been paid. Now come with me. Come with me. I want to introduce you to my Father in heaven. I want you to know the life that comes from knowing him. Now I can't see into people's hearts. Obviously I can't. But it may be that you've heard about Jesus before, but you've never really understood why he died. It's always seemed rather strange to you that Christians thank him for dying. Perhaps you've never really understood that sin was a very serious problem that you needed rescuing from. Well, if that's you, today would be a great day to turn to Jesus and ask him to bring you to God. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. If it's a prayer you would like to pray, Why don't you echo it? Why don't you say it in your heart? What I'm going to read the prayer so you can listen to it. And if you think that is a prayer I would love to pray, then I'll read it again and we can pray it together. This is what I'm going to pray, okay? It goes, sorry, thank you, please. It goes, Lord Jesus, sorry. Sorry that I've said no to you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you love me so much you came to die for my sins in my place. And Lord Jesus, please, please would you bring me to your Father in heaven that I might become his child. Okay, if you think that's a good prayer to pray for you, why don't you join in your heart? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, sorry. Sorry that I've said no to you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you love me so much that you came to die for my sins in my place. And Lord Jesus, please, please would you bring me to your Father in heaven that I might become his child. Amen. Can I say, if you prayed that prayer and really meant it, then you've started out as a child of God, and all little children need help to grow. So if you prayed that prayer, why not come and talk to me or talk to your family, talk to the people you came with about what it will mean to grow in the Christian life.